אני רושם ניקח. I can speak Korean, okay? But I'm not going to speak today. This is all be in English. I'm very happy to meet you. Thank you for making time for us. As my colleague Ayman said, we are going to be talking about Visual Studio 2015, specifically C++. Okay? So, as people are still coming in, let's start with some audience probing. We're going to ask some questions. Who uses C++? Please raise your hand if you answer yes. C++ users. Man, this thing glaring in my eyes, I can't really see. Ah, that's almost all of you. Okay, good. You're in the right session. This is all going to be C++. Who uses Visual Studio? Nice, that's almost all of you. Who uses Visual Studio 2013? Has anybody tried 2015? Who uses Visual C++ or Visual C or VC6? Really? No, let me repeat my question. Who uses VC6? Oh, okay.
Who just realized? I love VC6. I love it.
Who just realized you're in the wrong session? No? Okay, good. So we're ready to start. Okay. So, you know, this is a Tech Days, is a one whole day event. Lots of information coming your way. It's an enormous amount of information to process in one day, especially in the whole array of Microsoft technologies coming your way. You could forget a lot of things. Okay? In the next 70 minutes, Ayman and I are going to be talking about C++ from Visual Studio perspective and how important C++ is in the Visual Studio ecosystem and what we are doing for C++ to make it easy for Visual Studio developers. So, when you get all this information and you can't remember, okay, what are those two guys were talking up on the stage? They were throwing code, saying C++, Visual Studio, a bunch of numbers left and right. If you can just remember this, okay? C++ is the language of choice for cross-platform. Therefore, we are investing in C++ to be one of the first citizens of Visual Studio. We want to attract all the C++ developers into Visual Studio ecosystem. That's basically the crux of today's talk. Okay? We have made enormous amount of bets in investment in Visual Studio C++, Visual C++, starting with making developers more agile, more efficient, making it easy for C++ developers to write code. The modern programming languages like C# and Java and Swift and Go and whatnot that are out there, right? One of the common traits they have is it's very easy to express your thought into the machine, right? C++ is not good there. It is one of the oldest language, and it's very crafty, old, but very complex. It is difficult for young developers to start in. There, a development environment like Visual Studio can help make it easy for you. So we've done lots of refactoring features in Visual C++.
You want to go next?
Yeah, thanks. So let's start with a few basic questions. I want to preemptively answer some of these questions that you might ask. Okay? We've made a mistake a couple of releases ago by making the menu all capitalized, and we've received enormous amount of feedback from developers. What are you trying to say? What does this capital menu mean? Are they important? Are they more important menus than the others? It just went nuts. So we've corrected my mistake by lowercasing them back, camel casing them back.
Was the hardest fix. One of the hardest fix ever.
So that is the best feature we've implemented this year. Okay, I'm joking. I'm going to try to joke a lot. If it doesn't make sense, just laugh. Okay? it'll make it easier for me to go on.
Just go ahead.
And also, we just finished lunch. Some of you are going to be going to, you know, take it easy and go to sleep. So I want to keep you awake, okay? Whatever it means possible. Another change coming up in Visual Studio is when you install Visual Studio, C++ language libraries and tools are not going to be installed by default. You might misconstrue this as, oh, hey, C++ is no longer part of the Visual Studio, or C++ is no longer important in the Visual Studio ecosystem tools. That is not the case. Okay, that's not the case. Visual Studio is huge. It's a behemoth. Okay, to install the entire repertoire of Visual Studio tools and components, it takes long time. And C++ users are not the main part of all the Visual Studio users. So to be fair to non-C++ users of Visual Studio, we made it an optional component of the setup. Okay? Even though it says custom, you want to click the custom and actually pick all the Visual C++ components when you install VS.
And I just want to iterate, this is a direction that we're moving everybody else as well too, and not just C++. So eventually other languages are not going to be on by default. You have to go and explicitly select those languages. The idea here is we want the setup itself to be in megabytes rather than gigabytes. And so that it's very small, you can customize it and install it quickly for your own needs. So it's just a first step, and we're heading there.
Okay. Also, one of the very commonly asked question, which is, and especially here, I think it matters a lot. Why? Because Windows XP is still prevalently used here. Am I right? You see a lot of Windows XP.
Who uses XP? Who targets XP?
I think there's a lot of individual developers, companies that write their applications and product for Windows XP because there are still Windows XP usages in the companies and as well as in individual uses, in the commercial uses, right? So with VS 2015, you can still target your application to be installed and run correctly on Windows XP. That's good news. Okay. All right.
You're next.
So, as I said earlier, making developers more productive, making them more efficient inside Visual Studio Shell, the ecosystem, is an ongoing improvement that's never going to end. Okay. We've done lots of C++ specific improvements as well as C++ agnostic, overall Visual Studio improvements. We're not going to be able to show all of this today, but what we will show is, what we will show is some of the highlights of these improvements. Today, you cannot expect developers to be just sitting behind a PC with a keyboard and mouse and doing the development, right? That is the case in most cases anyway. However, with the array of new devices, touch screens, touch devices, even phones, right, small and big, you can actually do developments right there. So Visual Studio as an application, it needs to evolve in interacting with touch interfaces. We made Visual Studio Windows, specifically the editor, with a zoom. You could actually zoom into your code and zoom out with your finger. It seems like a no big deal, not a small feature, but it is important. It does help customers to be more productive and efficient. The other thing is you can also move your windows around. Not every screen is same. Some screens are small, some are big. You don't want to see certain things by default. You could actually create a custom layout of windows that you care, and you can save it, and it'll remember in your profile as you migrate through device to device to device to the PC. We made it also easy for you to send us feedback. Right? As I said, Visual Studio is an application. It's a big behemoth application. Right? It does lots of things. It does lots of things that are necessary and unnecessary for you. So at times you're going to be frustrated. At times you're going to be very happy. Hopefully you'll be happy most of the time. But when you are frustrated, It'll take you only a few seconds to send us feedback. I think Ayman said, your feedback earlier, Ayman said, your feedback is extremely important to us, okay? It's not a cliche. We actually mean this. We have means of listening to your feedback, analyzing it, prioritizing it against other feedback, actually implementing it, and putting it back out to you within 3 months, all within 3 months. We have that process. We can ship Visual Studio components and Visual Studio itself within 3 months. And there's easy ways for you to send us feedback. And, you know, GitHub. As an accentuation to my colleague Ayman's keynote today, Microsoft is all about open source software. We are working with open source. We are making some of our products open source. We are contributing to open source. We're using open source to develop our products. Visual Studio 2015 was created, built, and shipped using Git repos. So we already use Git repo. It is already Git and GitHub integration features are already first-class citizens inside the Visual Studio ecosystem. You can connect your code. You don't have to do much. There's lots of dialogues and helper features to get you going. So those were the non-C++ features or the efficiency or productivity features. In the C++ side, as you can see, C# is extremely easy to use. It is a modern language. They don't have the language itself doesn't have a legacy debt to deal with. So inside Visual Studio, C# features, they really shine, right? They come out. It's easy to use. C++ is still catching up to that. It's a legacy language. It is a very complex language. So some of the features that C# already has, we don't have it in the C++ side. Those are now coming online. Lots of refactoring features have been added. You can automatically declare or define functions, C++ functions, and the IDE, or the Visual Studio, will do the right thing for you by creating the header file if necessary, putting the code in the right place, that will compile correctly. You can move function definitions to different places, different sources. You can implement pure virtual functions, right? C++ is a complex language. You can have a base class from a library that has 1,000 members, virtual functions. And you only need to call one of them, you know, just one. The rest will get in your way, right? And for you to get going, you have to take the time and handwrite the rest of the implementation. Right? It's just the way it is. That's C++. In that situation, we will help you. We'll create the right implementation stubs for you. You can rename easily and accurately. You can rename a function or symbol, click on it, and you can feel good about it. The right things will happen behind the scene, and it'll compile correctly. You can extract methods based on code statements, code blocks. If there's a pattern of code block that you see all over the place in your big C++ project, you can refactor it. You can create a function off of it automatically and have everybody call that. And one of the other features that I really like is single file IntelliSense. For the first time, now you can load arbitrary C++ code into Visual Studio without loading any project or solution. You will have a full fidelity, the entire repertoire of the C++ browsing and IntelliSense power with it automatically. We do the right thing behind the scene to make it available to you. Is that impressive? It is impressive, right? Just nod your head. Because it is. Okay, thank you. I had to work hard for that. With this, I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio. You guys can see my screen well. Yeah, I don't have a very complicated code up here. It's just very simple stuff here. The things I just mentioned just now, I'd like to go through them one by one and just kind of show you what it is that I'm actually talking about. I'm not just as a proof that I'm not making this up.
I'll sit here.
So I think the first one that I want to show you is this. You have a string type, a string variable that's basically a string literal of this long, you know, formatted string that when this program runs, it's nice. It'll get printed out nicely formatted, right? But in your code, it is not, because it's in your code, right? Therefore, you could use the raw string literal feature to actually represent the code exactly how it would look at runtime. So you got something like this here. I have an ingredient for kimchi soup. Okay, I actually wrote this, and I can actually make kimchi soup myself too. Like I'm not kidding. I make a mean kimchi soup, by the way. So a message, a string like this, it's kind of inconvenient to read with one little feature called smart tags, or also known as control comma. This little yellow bulb will come up here, and this will suggest, based on where your cursor is, what kind of smart actions you can take. Because my cursor was on the string, it says, okay, you could turn this into a raw string literal. Do you want to do that? And I'm going to say, yeah, go ahead and make it. Bam. Yeah? Yeah? You like that? It's good, right? So when the thing runs, it's going to look like this. It makes it easy to read. It's not a big deal, but it is something that makes it easy for your code to read. The second thing, I think I mentioned implementing pure virtual functions, right? So I've got a base class here called base class, and then I have a derived class here called derived class. But it's missing these guys here, right? So I want to, before I do my thing inside the derived class, I want to say, okay, let me fulfill all the contracts with my base class. To do that, I can just come here again. I can right-click to see all the quick actions or the smart actions. You can also just come here and control comma. Now here it says I can do these three things. It's automatically figuring out where the cursor is, and it's telling you a semantic correct actions that you can take at this time, right? And at this time I'm going to say, why don't you go ahead and implement all the pure virtual functions of my base class. Look at that. It finished before even I said it. Yeah? Is that good? And look, there's no red squiggles. It is actually correct, so it'll compile. Granted, I'm using very simple functions that take one parameter or no parameter, but in a real case, you have, you know, very complicated template functions and all that. They will all work, okay? I guarantee you. Another feature that will make it very easy to refactor your code or make your code more readable for your coworkers is rename. Look, I have a function here called this is a terrible name for a function. Okay, that's the name of the function. It's terrible. I want to change that. You could do a find, just do a symbol, like a symbol search, and do a regular expression find and replace, right? You could do that. Visual Studio has that support. But then, do I know it's correct, right? What if it made a semantic mistake, right? I don't want Visual Studio regular expression to be parsing through my code and changing all the symbols where it matches. That is not C++. I want to change the symbol inside my project or inside my thousands and thousands of projects through a bona fide C++ grammar, okay? So that the semantics of my code remains unchanged. That is the difference here, okay? And I can do that. I can do that by coming over here and say rename. And say, okay, well, what's the name you want to give it? I want to give it a better name called this is not a terrible name for a function. Okay, that's what I want to change it to. Now, when I do this, it gives me this little window, little button says preview. Now it brings up here, in this case, I've got the function defined, and then there's only one place where it's calling, right? Where is it calling? It's calling down here, see? Inside constructor from a class. In a normal situation, this would be all over the place. But at least it's telling you, okay, that this search and replace is being done C++ semantically correct. That is the key that I'm trying to show you here. So I do apply, done. I didn't actually improve the name of the function. I just changed it. Okay. I think the next one I was talking about was implementing a definition or declaration for a function, right? So I've got a when you're working on a new code or new project, first thing you do is you design. You design the interfaces, you design what the components and modules, where they are, their interactions and their dependencies. So you don't actually get into implementing functions. That comes later, right? But what you do get into is you create APIs. You create API signatures. In this case, I've got an API called definitionless function. I just want to be very literal, you know, on these things here. So I come here, I say, okay, I want to take a quick action. It says, okay, I can create a definition. Go ahead and create a definition for me. Guess what happened here? If this was a big code base, I don't want whatever action I'm taking take me to some random place where I would lose the context of my code in my head, right? So it's keeping me inside where I was in the editor, and it opened up this small peek window that says, hey, this is how the definition is going to look like. Okay? Do you want to add some code inside? I'm not on the editor. I'm inside the editor, but inside a peek window. Okay? And my thought process as I was reading my code, it still remains intact. I didn't lose my context. So I'm inside this peek window. I'm going to come here. Oh yeah, I want to, you know, I want to use this. I want to write some code here, some random stuff, right? As you can see, inside this peek window, guess what's happening? I have IntelliSense, right? It's not just random little window. Like it's a bona fide little window that has bona fide C++ parser running in the background, telling you exactly what you need to type. It's awesome. Yeah. Okay, so. I write my code, everything's good, and then I'm going to come over here and say, okay, promote this to my document. Okay, at this point, nothing has been persisted. So I click on this. It's done. Look at that. Yeah? Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. one of the last ones I want to show you is extract method. These refactoring features, they're not actually done by us, right? They will ship inside the product, and some of them will actually come through the gallery. So you can actually extend them. You can put out your own smart tools, smart tags, right? This could be totally crowdsourced, crowd-developed, and you could install these. And one of those, as an example, is extract, C++ extract method. This code right here, where I have a generic lambda, and I say this is a generic lambda because, why? Why is it a generic lambda? Because there's an auto in here. By the way, generic lambda is a new feature. It's a new C++ 14 feature we added into our compiler in Visual C++ 2015. So I've got a generic lambda here, and then it's been called. So I want to move this because this gets repeated all over the place in the code. What I want to do is I want to turn this into a function, but I don't want to do it manually because that's so 2014. Yeah, right now it's 2015. Things should be done better. I come over here and extract function because I installed that add-on from VS Gallery online. It automatically shows up on my list of the smart actions. I click on this. I say, what do you want to call this function? I want to call it. I'll just call it generic lambda. Yeah, I call it generic lambda, and I say, bam, it's done. It replaced whatever code block that was. Imagine this your work, okay, your project, your legacy code that you just hate to look at every day. There's bugs in it all the time. It's just always in your screen. It's just pain in your, you know. So you can replace that with a function. And this function call gets inserted, and this header file is created for me in my project with the prototype of the new function block automatically. Yeah? All right. So, one more thing I said earlier. This is my mouse. Okay, I'm not touching my mouse. Mouse is sitting right here. This is a touch screen window. I'm going to come here, and then I'm going to zoom in and out. Look at that, huh? Yeah. Guess what I'm using? My fingers. So, it's a small thing, but it is added. Okay, it's added. You can actually do this kind of interactions with your code. Makes it easier to see and read. The other thing I told you, which was send feedback. We've got this little thing, smiley face here. If you're really happy with Visual Studio, all you got to do is come here and send a smile. Yeah? What's wrong with a smile? If you can send a smile to somebody, would you do it? Yeah? For doing a good job? I would do it. It makes people who worked on this happy. And they'll be happy developers make more better products. or vice versa, you could send a frown if you're really mad and you want to tell Ayman something too, you know, hey, fix this thing in the next release. You just do this. You send this, put your notes, and done. And again, I want to mention one more time, okay? We take this very seriously. It comes through us. Our VPs and down, they really look so at it and make actually, everybody else.
We actually look at every one of those. When it comes our way, we do look at every one of those.
Okay. All right, so with this, I'm going to build this thing. Hopefully, I didn't make any mistake in making the changes. I'm going to build this. And then I'm going to start debugging. What's happening? What's all this? Who did all this? Like this wasn't there before, right? This is a new thing. This is a new feature. Automatically, when you debug your native applications, native C++ code, we will kick off these profilers, native memory profilers, heap allocation profilers, CPU usage monitors. This is all real time. Imagine your application or your game, your C++ game or whatever, right, is running. It's a long-running application or multi-threaded application. You want to know these things real time, so you could see the spikes. You could see if there's any memory leaks. You could see, you know, if there's heaps, you know, extra heap being allocated. In the world of debugging, we've made lots of little changes that C++ developers will appreciate. And one of those is you can also improve in the exception setting dialog, which was buried before, not very easy to use. Now it's very clear. It shows up right there. It's on by default. And you can select which C++ exceptions you want your application to break on, right? You can pick and choose. And it's just easier as just selecting and collapsing all this. And then the other thing is here. So I've got a breakpoint here in my main. I'm going to step down. Keep going here. See what's going on? What is this? Huh? Like every function called when I step over, I get this little information here that says some kind of seconds, milliseconds elapsed. That is actually a very useful feature. What it is it's giving you a real-time elapsed time where whatever function call that was, going in and coming out, it took this time. So calling this foo print function took 4 milliseconds, and it's accurate. Okay? Yes, I know. I'm running this inside the debugger. How could this be accurate, right? Yeah. But I'm telling you, there is a very complex, very complicated heuristic being used behind the scene to isolate out all the debugger overhead. So, and what is shown here is the actual real time of the execution of the function call. Okay? Like, this was good. This was based on feedback. There was lots of C++ developers, probably you guys too. You put in a little code marker in the beginning of your function and at the end of your function, code marker, right? And then you subtract the time and say, oh, okay, this function is taking this long.
It's like basically, get current time and subtract. So this is doing it for you.
Yeah. You don't have to do that. You like that? Is that good? That's good, right? Yeah. I had to ask for applause, man, so far. Okay. What else? Okay, I think we're good. So I'm going to switch back to the slides. Basically, I have talked about all this. One more thing. Sorry. One last refactoring feature, improvement, productivity feature is, so let me go ahead and unload this project. Okay, so there's no project is loaded, just the bare Visual Studio is running. I'm going to do Control-O to open up a file called single file. Okay, I just loaded a C++ file, random C++ file. There's no project or solution is loaded. What's happening here? It's already color-coded. You see? Watch this. I'm going to come here. I'm going to do include. Look, that is a full IntelliSense. There's no project. This is just a naked C++ file. What's happening behind the scene is very complex. We're on demand creating a C++ project file and then kicking off the right parsers and scanners to do the right semantic analysis and parsing. So this feature is new. This time around. And this is useful to, you know, small Mickey Mouse applications that you write here and there, you know, really quickly, just whip up something on your side, writing a unit test, just validating some kind of, you know, language features or whatever the case is. Okay. All right. So I just talked about this. So I'm just going to skip over some of the slides that I've already covered in the... okay, so I think Ayman has alluded a little bit in his talk with 2015 Visual Studio. We have project templates that are very efficient and basically the correct project templates for universal apps for Windows 10, where you can create a Windows application that'll run on the entire spectrum of all the Windows devices, including phone, Xbox, PC, handheld devices, Surface, whatever, right? You write one code, you don't have to change your code. And it can be compiled and deployed and run on all these devices exactly the same way. You don't gotta do single thing. And Visual Studio will provide you the right tools to create such applications. We are always making improvements for making, you know, code understanding features faster. Okay, in the world of IntelliSense, speed is everything. Speed. Okay, you're writing your code. The things that tooltips and all that stuff is not keeping up with your thought process. Then it's pointless. It'll annoy you to no end. Okay, so speed is extremely important. And when it comes to C++ is all speed, and we are continuously improving in that regard. The other thing is, look at this. Okay, I'm trying to call one of the constructor overloads of WString from standard template library. Okay. When you look at the first one here, the first overload here, this is what we used to do before. Okay? When you look at that, is this correct? Is this accurate C++? Huh? Who thinks this is accurate C++? Yeah, it's accurate. What's wrong with it? What is wrong with this here? It's too accurate. Who cares, right? Who cares all these advanced templates when they get resolved down to the bare minimum, right? We're human beings. We need to look at things and parse things and understand things, right? This is too accurate, and it's only suitable for machines, for compilers. It's way too accurate. We don't need to do this. We need to make C++ easy to use. We need to make C++ easy to read and parse for humans, because humans will write the code. So we've definitely made this simple. All the advanced... You like that, huh? Yeah. Whew, that was the first unprovoked applause. this kind of small things you will notice. It'll make you more productive. PCH, precompiled header, which is also a very helpful feature in making your build run faster. Precompiled header is, it depends on how you organize your headers in a way that your incremental build is most optimally set up, okay? And in reality, people usually don't do that right. We have features to help you with that, making it more optimized. I have already talked about this. Error list is improved in a way that you can do lots of things inside without leaving the error list window. You can filter, you can search, you can read, you can reorder them, you can navigate from all of these to the error place in your code. And this window includes continuations from the compiler. Okay? That's new. That is new. We only used to show warnings and errors. Now we actually add the continuation message. It is especially helpful for templates, C++ advanced templates. I've already talked about this. Yes, that's good. Yes. Yes.
I can talk about this if you want me to mention the... the two big points.
Okay. All right, so... who keeps up with C++ standards? Raise your hand if you really keep up with the latest standards, you understand what's going on with the ISO standards, you know, blah, 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 that kind of... I see a guy raising a hand. And another guy right there.
Three.
And then, that's good. I got like three guys raising a hand. It's good. That's worth it. This list here, this is not just a random list. This is the new features from the C++ conformance that we added into the Microsoft compiler. Yeah, let that sink. Yeah? Okay, so to be fair, we are behind in comparison with Clang and GCC. Clang is an open source C++ and C and Objective-C compiler. GCC is GCC, you know GCC. So Microsoft, when it comes to the standard conformance, we are behind. We've done all this work to catch up, okay? We haven't caught up yet, but look at all these features, eh? These were added, okay? And we're gonna continue to add with the goal to one day catch them. Who knows when, but we're heading that way. No except. It seemed like a small feature, but it actually took a long time to implement in the compiler. Basically, it replaces the MS extension features that we had, throw and decalspec no throw. What it means is you can put this modifier in your function, and that tells the compiler that, hey, this function will not throw. Okay? Anything from this function on is not going to throw, so don't put in all the wiring for the C++ exception handling, which is very expensive for your application at runtime. Inline namespaces, right? This is implemented. You can use it. This is helpful in migrating your code, modernizing your code, introducing breaking changes without letting your users know about it. Thread safe locals. We've made a local statics more conformant to the standards. We implement the compiler. When I say we, I'm talking about the compiler here. The compiler will generate the right code, right guard code, to be thread safe for local statics. attributes. We support the new C++ 14 attributes. Align of, align as are replacing the old Microsoft extensions that used to be adorned with decal specs. Unicode string literals. You can compiler will now honor these different UTF-8, UTF-16, UTF-13 encodings, and the right conversions will happen correctly in your code with these kind of specific modifiers. Return type deduction, nothing to be said. Compiler will deduce the right type from auto. Sometime in the future when C++ 17 is out, something like this will actually work. Huh? It's kind of stupid, eh? But that's a valid C++ code in the future. Tell me, like, C++ is a complex language. It is very complex. Yet it's still around and it's very popular. ConstExpert. It's one of the toughest features my team had to implement in the last few years, couple of years. You can adorn your functions and expressions with ConstExpert modifier, and compiler will evaluate all those at compile time. Output buffer array here, the size of that will be computed at compile time. While the compiler is running, the result is already known. What does that mean to you? It means when your application is running at runtime, there's less initialization you have to do. Your thing will run faster. That's what it means.
We should go faster.
Okay, so this is the list of things that are missing. We are still working on them, starting with the updates for 2015. They're going to be coming online in a progressive manner. Okay. Okay, so I want to spend a little bit, maybe like 3 minutes or so on this. Okay. This is a continuation of the message that my colleague Ayman was talking about at the keynote today. Okay. C++ is a common denominator for different platforms. Right? When you have a C++ code, you can compile it and run it on Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, your grandma's computer, whatever that is, right? It's common, and you don't need to change a thing as long as it is a standard C++ conforming cross-platform code. Okay? And one of the problems we have today is because Microsoft compiler, or our compiler, is lagging behind the rest of the compilers, it doesn't have all the C++ standard features. Therefore, you can't really take your code, C++ code, and compile it with our compiler. Yet, you want to compile and run your application, your product, on Windows so you can make more money from Windows users. But this Microsoft compiler is getting in the way, right? If that is the situation, we're going to solve that starting next month. We are introducing a new tool set called Clang with Microsoft Code Generator. It's kind of a long name, eh? Or also known as Clang C2. What it is, it's actually very clever. Okay? Clang is a compiler front end, and then there's a back end, LLVM, which generates the code for the platform, right? We are going to take Clang front-end parser and marry it to our Microsoft code generator. Yeah? What that means is you take your cross-platform C++ code today, shared code, you compile that, the resulting executable and static libraries and the binaries will right off the bat work on Windows. And it'll have all the Windows optimizations. It'll run just like a native Windows application. Not only that, you can actually link those static libs and object files with Microsoft-built object files and executables. That's a big deal. That is a very revolutionary thing we're doing.
Have you guys heard of the Island Wood project? Anybody heard about that project? That's basically the bridges that we're talking about, where you can actually write Objective-C code and run it on Windows. So the way it's done, it's because it's using Clang C2, because Clang as well is the compiler for Objective-C. So basically, you can write Objective-C code and run that on Windows using that compiler. So if you had an iOS application, you can actually run it on the Windows phone using that by recompiling it. So that's the direction about the Windows bridging parts in the major session we've heard.
That's beautiful, right? Isn't that beautiful? There's like enormous amount of iOS apps that's written with Objective-C, right? You don't got to do anything. You just compile that, and the thing runs on Windows.
In fact, Candy Crush on Windows Phone is built with that toolset. It's built with the Islandwood project that actually have the Clang stuff.
So please take the time to look at Clang C2. And before I finish, I want to quickly say that we're not going to de-invest on our Microsoft compiler. Okay, Microsoft compiler is my baby. We're still working on it. We're still investing in it. We're going to continue working on it, and we're going to continue shipping two compilers. This is a quick overview of what Clang C2 toolset looks like. Right, on your left, on your left. On your left, the bubble here. The big bubble inside with these yellow dots is the shared C++ library, the cross-compiler, cross-platform code. And then your whole application has these three heads, Android-specific, Windows, and iOS-specific, right? Today, in order to run it on all three of these, you have to actually put these surgical fixes, these yellow dots, yellow bubbles, right, to make it work with the Microsoft compiler. With the Clang C2, you don't need to do that. The big bubble inside, the shared C++ code, will just work as is without any change. That is the key here. That is the value that I'm trying to bring up here. Okay, so with this, I'm going to hand it over to my colleague Ayman to finish up the presentation.
So one of the areas as well we invested in VC 2015 is one of the major asks about build time. It takes a long time to build. This is actual feedback we've got. It's like, you build the thing, you go get a coffee, you go get lunch if your app is big, and you come back and it's still building. You still get the whole message linking, and then dots, 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 correct? Believe me, we build Windows. Windows itself can be built in 2 days. You can still keep Windows building in 2 days. So you can go have actually a vacation and come back, all right? And it's still building. So one of the areas we invested in is really build time. The compiler itself, and this is actual timings that we've measured. So we have the Kinect Sports, which is a game in Xbox. It used to take around 958 seconds, and it dropped to 71 seconds instead. Basically, there are multiple things what we've done. We've multi-threaded the linker itself. So the linking commands, now it's multi-threaded. We've discovered some bottlenecks on the PDB generations, so it's fast PDB generating. We've had incremental linking in static libraries. It used to be that if you had a static library and you're doing just incremental linking, it just bails out and something unsupported, and you have to relink the whole thing. So right now, no, it supports incremental linking. So, and those are actually numbers for building Chrome and others. So Chrome on Windows is built with VC 2015. And this is a tremendous amount of, this is actually timings that we've measured from before and after VS 2013 versus VS 2015 for the timings. So we definitely give it a try. It's been a focus for us. We'll continue investing in this area to make compile time faster and faster and faster. So I wanted as well to cover some of the performance parts about your apps. It's an area that basically, I used to call it compile and smile. So basically, it's a free thing. You don't have to do anything. Once you port your code to VS or VC 2015, you should notice a tremendous amount of performance enhancements without you doing anything. It's just being recompiled. And part of that is taking advantage of stuff that's vectorization. There's lots of hardware now that supports those kind of stuff, right? And just the compiler automatically will take advantage of those for you. This is just a small example of a Black-Scholes, which is a finance algorithm here. By just porting it from older to newer version, there's a 300% increase in performance, right? By just optimizing that part, the branch, less code of the branching. There's some subtle stuff as well. Anybody writes code like this? Raise your hand if you, because we do. Windows is full of code like this. Windows itself is full of code like this. And believe it or not, that gets optimized. The compiler optimizes it to something like this. Because that's exactly equivalent. So it's, I know it takes time, so take a look at it to actually figure out exactly what's happening. It's a complex algorithm that the compiler does it on your behalf now. You don't have to worry about the bit masking parts and cascading bit fields. Some other parts that we used to consider as well. We used to write, many of us write code this way, right? For int, if it's some sort of environment, invariant thing, and we do that, and we wonder why our code is slow, correct? I mean, the right way is to really hoist that if up, correct? And the thing is, some developers do that, some developers don't. The good news is you don't have to worry about that, because the compiler actually changes that for you. So in the code generated itself, it actually recognizes that this is a condition that's not going to change. And when it does, it just hoists that above your for loop and does it for you, right? So if you're just porting your code and you have that existing piece of code up there, you automatically get performance gains here. So we have tons of other optimization as well. But I wanted to talk about some of the interesting what's happening next, right? We just released in July, I believe, if my memory is not failing me, VS 2015. In next month, we're going to have the first update. And that's the whole every 3 month update cycle. We used to, when we have compiler features specifically, we used to wait till the major versions, basically wait till the next 2 years. We're just going to do bug fixes. But what we're taking now is no, we're not going to do that. We're going to update the existing. So in the updates, you will get tons of compiler features, tons of VS features, more refactoring, await, the Clang C2 that Ulzi was actually talking about. The interesting part here is, even with all those updates, your existing code, if you do, is still the update, should still work. So we're not going to have a breaking change by default. Like, we're not going to break you when they do an update. The idea here is we want to get into the constant rhythm of generating more features and more value on every 3 month thing. So we're going to continue building in the IDE productivity. You will see more of the refactoring stuff that all of us have seen, have shown you guys. We'll pick this up as part of the updates. We're doing investments as well in the scalability and performance of the project system itself. Like when you have a large project and it takes some time to load the project and all this stuff, we are doing specific investments for large size projects to actually make it more performant in Visual Studio itself. We'll continue build time improvements, correct? Like one of the things we did is multi-threading the linker itself. But we're starting to think about what does it mean to multi-proc builds in general, multi-machine builds. Like you're sitting on your, we're trying that in Microsoft itself. In C++ team, for example, we're around 130 people total. And lots of the machines, if you're going home, it's idle, correct? It's like it's your machine, but you're going home. We're trying to use that to the fact is somebody's building something, it automatically serves the whole build agents on those machines back and forth and collects the information. So basically, it just builds across the whole build environment, right, and speed it up without you even noticing. You just tell them, you know what? Enlist in this, say that my machine is available from this time to that time, and it just builds it for you, right? And in addition to that, like cloud builds, right? How you build your stuff in the cloud, right? And just to save time. The other parts as well is, has anybody wondered that I want to have the VC toolset, the compiler only, without the IDE? Anybody wants that? You all want the IDE itself as well? So we've seen that people asking about, I don't need want to install all the IDE. I just need the compiler toolset, and I'm going to do it through the command line thing. Right? That is a common, folks with library vendors. It is common as well for build lab scenarios. If you have a lab, you don't want to install the whole VS on it. You're just building your stuff in the lab. So we're going to have a new Visual Studio SKU, like Pro Enterprise, that has a build SKU only for that kind. And we're targeting that to be have a CTP which is a beta thing, next month as well, to be available without you having to go to install the full VS. You want to try the new compiler, you just download the bits by itself. So we're doing that as well. So we have as well early thoughts here. I've shown in the keynote some of the Linux early thinking about how to integrate Linux. So, and when we say Linux, it's not just the server parts only, but specifically the IoT scenario as well. What does it mean to have a Linux device and you just hook it up into your VS and being able to deploy, debug, and write C++ code, even C# code on all this area? We are investing heavily now in this area. The other part as well is VS Code, which you guys heard about it. VS Code kind of, it's a lightweight editor right now, right, that actually you can use in Linux or Mac or Windows itself. Right now it does not have C++ support, but we're starting to plug in the support for C++ there. So we want to hear from you as well about how important is that to develop on a Mac rather than on Windows, as a developer machine, for example. On a Linux machine, similar concept. I think that is basically very early thoughts about what we're trying to think about and where we're heading. We are at the perfect spot right now, again, to get your feedback. And with that, since we have 10 minutes almost only, I'd like to just open it for questions and get your feedback on what, if we're doing bad or good. I'm sure I have some stuff that I hate about it so I'm sure you guys as well has some stuff that you hate about it. So we'd love to hear your feedback right now.
We have 10 minutes for questions and answers. Go on. If you got any questions, get your hands up and we'll talk.
So no questions, everything is perfect? Okay, there's a question here. I think I'll just get this so that... I don't know if it's working, but...
You can speak Korean if you want, and we can...
I have no idea if it's working, so...
They can translate it to us.
It's not, yeah?
Just why don't you just get close to Ayman, right there.
Yeah.
Get close to his mic. Talk to us.
Yeah, it was really impressive, and I'm a university student, and I'm really it was a good session for me. Thanks for that. And I really liked simplified STL expression in little gray intelligence.
Yeah.
But how?
Yeah.
Can we change some level of simplification in IntelliSense? Like, I want to change wide string to very. I can
so
deliver this well.
Are you saying
customized?
I mean, I want to toggle the IntelliSense to simplified version and detailed version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you want to customize. What you want to customize what you see in the tooltip?
Yeah, sure.
No.
Yeah.
So that's the short answer. No.
I see.
Because it's built into the tooltip infrastructure inside the IDE, and the language service, the C++ language service, which is powered by a different compiler, EDG. It's already formatted the string.
So this actually though a good feedback. I would love to understand why do you want to customize it?
Well, in standard form, like wide character string that have really long STL expressions, but when I write my STL class, I want to see how my code is being expressed.
I actually think if you write your own thing, it will get you the full details.
For my own thing.
For your own implementation.
Oh, I see.
There is a heuristic to cut off.
Correct. But in most, like, I would like you to try it.
Yeah.
Because it is actually going to get you the information that you need right now. If it doesn't, let us know. Right? Because it's supposed to be able to, being, it's the complex ones that we implement, the whole heavy templates part, that doesn't go in headers, that's non-user headers. It's the system headers. So if it's in your user headers and all the stuff that you implemented, it's supposed to give you enough information to understand your code.
So the Visual Studio knows what I want to see.
It does have a heuristic. Basically, heuristics, sometimes it's wrong, sometimes it's right, but it's just it's a best guess. But it's measured based on trial and error that we've done in many projects. So it should be sufficient. But I'll definitely give it a try, and you can send the frown thing. It gets my way. Uh-huh. Comes to me.
Yeah, I understood. Thanks.
Right.
Yeah, send the smile first, and then do the frown, yeah? Thanks for your question, and thanks for your feedback.
Any more questions?
There's one more hand right there.
좋은 정보 잘 들었습니다. 감사드리고요. 그 아까 클랭 C2 관련해서 이렇게 문의를 드리고자 합니다.
클랭.
Nobody translated anything for me. Is there any translation?
Oh, okay. Okay. Let me do it. Okay. I can. 말하십시오.
아.
Oh, yeah. I told you. Let's see.
아, 네. 클랭 C2로 그 오브젝트 C로 컴파일한 것도 이렇게 사용할 윈도우에서 사용할 수 있다고 하셨는데요.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a question.
그러면 yeah. 모든 그 오브젝트 C로 만든 iOS 앱을 다 윈도우에서 소스 코드만 있으면 사용할 수 있는 건가요? 윈도우로 변환해서?
Yes. So let me repeat the question to him. But the answer is yeah. The short answer is yes.
Okay? It's being translated. So. Okay, so your question, just to make sure, is you have Clang C2 right now, or we're pushing it out. There is the part about can I use now Objective-C on Windows or not? It's a yes and no, to be honest, because to use Objective-C on Windows or writing code, there's three multiple parts, correct? There is the iOS APIs, which is the runtime of iOS, and there is the SDK itself at design time, the iOS SDK, and there's the actual language, the normal C++ language. Right? The Islandwood project, which is in Windows, it re-implements the runtime. So if you have a window, if you have an iOS API, it maps it to a Windows API. So you've got to have all those two parts as well installed, the runtime and the rest. If that's the case, you install the Islandwood project, it has a copy of the Clang C2, which basically does comparse by Clang and generates code and runs it on the Windows emulator, as if it's a Windows phone. So yes, but you have to have the other factors, which is basically the whole Islandwood project that has the design time SDK, basically for it, and the runtime bits as well, because it does a runtime translation to the APIs.
That's good news, huh? It's very impressive. It's coming, all of that is coming.
Actually, the Islandwood project, if you go and search Islandwood Project online, you can download it now. It's available in beta. You can download it and play around with it right now. It has, don't tell anybody that I told you it has the Clang C2 because it's hidden, but it has it now.
It does. Yeah, it's Islandwood. Island as in some. Yeah, some. Wood. I don't know how to say wood, but Islandwood.
Hey, more questions.
We have 5 more minutes.
There's one here.
Yeah, I get to know what is the strength of the new Visual Studio version, but I actually have used the more than 10 years for Visual Studio, but nowadays I'm not using C++ in the Windows Visual Studio because the only time I have to use C++ is to develop Linux system because I can make many programs through the WPF like C#, but I don't think C++ is specially needed except developing some system software. What do you think are the strengths of the C++ language when it comes to developing some program in the window ecosystem?
UI itself and all stuff?
Yeah, I usually UI, but I just want to know what is the strength.
Correct. So there are three reasons you would use C++, right? Number one reason is you have existing C++ code, right? So basically, think about Adobe Reader, Adobe itself, the reader, the PDF reader, that was developed a long time ago, even before there was C#, correct? There was Adobe Reader before that. Windows itself is C++. So you have current investment in C++. That's one of the reasons you continue doing investments there. Right? The second reason is you really want to be close to the metal from performance perspective. C++ is the language where you can control your memory, you can control the hardware itself as much as closer to the bit. So if you care for performance, it is the language for you in some areas. If it's a heavily UI-based that's dependent on the user, you shouldn't use C++, it's more complex. Use absolutely C# and WPF and others. The third reason is cross-platform, correct? If you have existing net and you want to be cross-platform and share that code, like WPF, it's not shared across the different architectures or across even Unix, Linux, and others. So that's another reason to use C++. If you don't have any of the three reasons, don't use C++. It's actually a complex language. Like it would bring your productivity down if you're trying to use MFC compared to WPF, correct? Like WPF is much better, much more advanced. I think the story here is C++ with the C# and others, they complete each other. It's like the keynote we've said, we want to make sure that you achieve your goals rather than telling you, you must use C++. No, you don't have to, right? It's use it if it makes sense. If it doesn't, absolutely don't. Any more questions? What do you hate about Visual Studio? I would love to understand what you hate about it. Yeah, there's one hater here. He hates it.
Yeah, 꽉 궁금한 내용이었는데요. 비주얼 스튜디오의 그 키보드 매크로 기능이 사라진 이유가 뭔가요? 그게 계속 그 유지 보수 기능 개발하는 게 너무 힘들어서였나요? Visual Studio 최근 버전에서 키보드 매크로 기능이 사라진 이유. 그게 항상 궁금했습니다.
The keyboard macro functions. It's a good question. I have no idea why we removed it. I'll be lying to say I know the answer. I can guess an answer, but it's probably not correct or not 100% accurate. When we remove a feature, or we deprecate it, as we say, we usually depend on telemetry, that like the number of people have been feedback and usage. So it's always a mix between how many people is using it and the cost of supporting it. If there's a low number of people using it and the cost is high, we tend to eventually eliminate it. Again, that is the general reason why we remove features, but I have no idea why this feature specifically was removed. I can find out and get back to you for sure.
What is the Visual Studio version? 2013? Yeah. 2008? Oh, that is old.
Okay. We like it as well. One more question.
We're out of time.
There's one here. Yeah, it's a
last question.
I can't see anything from here.
Yeah, Visual Studio의 그 인텔리센스 기능이 굉장히 개발할 때 유용한 기능이긴 한데 이게 한번 갱신할 때 굉장히 리소스를 많이 먹는 것 같습니다. 그거에 대한 해결책은 있나요?
I can take this. Sorry, I didn't understand. But I just heard IntelliSense.
So I think we're saying is, let me correct me if I'm wrong. I can barely hear.
Oh, okay.
IntelliSense takes resources, a lot of resources, in the machine resources, correct?
Okay. So I can tell you, you must be using Visual Studio 2008. Are you? What are you using? Because what you said is true.
2012 버전 쓰고 있습니다.
What? 2012? 12. Okay. So you're right. Visual Studio, C++ IntelliSense takes a lot of resources. Okay, but what we do is, for every translation unit, when you open up a CPP file or header file, right, the parser for that is actually run out of proc of Visual Studio. So you can look at the process process viewer on Windows. You can see vcpkgsrv.exe, VC Package Serve. It's actually out of proc service runs and tailors, powers the IntelliSense. It doesn't use the VS process. What uses the VS process is the tag parsing, the parsing for browsing, like go to definition, go to declaration, navigations,
look at the second
navigate
point
to,
here.
All this. They will use the VS. So we have, after 2008, we've done a drastic improvement, overhaul of the IntelliSense and browsing infrastructure to address exactly that problem.
Right. And addition, 2013 plus, we're doing all the stuff out of proc, so you should not be blocked on it. So it's running at the same time in parallel. It sounds like a small change, but it actually was a bigger change for a code that exists in Visual Studio for long years. But you should definitely try stuff, because we ourselves build, like Visual Studio itself as a project, we've seen a tremendous amount of better IntelliSense. But definitely report issues if you still find issues. Anyways, I guess there are lots of people waiting in the back. Thank you for your time. We really appreciate being here. We'll hang out here for more time. We'd love to have your feedback as usual. Thank you.
Okay. 감사합니다.